Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. I have a particular question, and it's been bothering me, and you don't have to give me an answer, but my question is, which is going to happen first, the second coming of Jesus Christ or my Toronto Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup? You don't have to answer. We are using on these Sundays of Easter the hymnal supplement, so you're going to be using the order service, which is found in the hymnal supplement, and the hymns are all taken from our hymnal, as well as the Thanksgiving for baptism. And one other, I think, delightful change, which is nice, is our singing of Psalm 150. I will be the reader, and you, the congregation, in bold print, will be singing, and it'll be to the familiar hymn of praise to the Lord the Almighty. So please be prepared for that, and we will announce it again before we sing the Psalm 150. I shared with First Lutheran what I was thinking as we were reading the psalm, and we were singing the Psalm 150, and I thought, it's not a bad idea for a witness. We are going to be together for our church picnic. And so why not, as we get together for our church picnic, that we pull out our drums and harps and cymbals and dance and really sing our praises in public to God while we are worshiping and picnicking outside. I think that would be a tremendous witness, and people would think, boy, you Lutherans have gone crazy. Well, really? We're just doing what the psalm says, so food for thought. So watch out if I decide to bring some drums and find some cymbals and other things that we can dance and enjoy praising God. So if you think you like that idea, let me know. The scripture readings today, oh boy, and I looked at them, they're three different happenings, scenes, that when I read them. And our hearing of the first reading, it has the apostles, and they are standing bravely in front of the religious authorities. I have problems, and I can share it with you, with the Gospel of John, because considering what just happened in San Diego at the synagogue, and it's very, John is anti-Semitic for fear of the Jews, and if I was Jewish, I would tremble when I hear those parts. But here we have in the reading, the apostles are bravely standing in front of the religious authorities, and they are full of courage and faith, and they're proclaiming Jesus as the risen Lord and Savior. This is a totally different picture that we have of the disciples as we listen to today's gospel reading. And in the gospel, the disciples, well, they're hiding from the religious authorities, and they're fearing their own lives when Jesus appears to them and tells them, "Peace be with you." Now the second reading, Revelations. John has this vision, and it's all involved about the second coming of Jesus, well before the Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup. But it's the second coming of Jesus, and it's a time which the church says will happen in God's time and not in our time. Well, what do you make of these three readings? Especially when last Sunday, the church was full and everybody was celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was just marvelous, marvelous to see the church full. All three readings, I think they really speak about our church today and about us who believe that God continues to direct our faith community and our lives. The gospel. There are a bunch of frightened disciples, and they're hiding, and they're afraid. And with it comes, yes, the episode of Thomas, commonly known as the Doubting Thomas. He missed the first appearance of Jesus, and he demands proof. I want to see Jesus alive before I will believe. Well, Thomas was lucky. Jesus does appear in front of him to quell his disbelief. But Jesus goes on to say that those who believe and have not seen me will be blessed. We are blessed because we believe. You know, last Sunday, a huge celebration. You know, and I'm so glad when I see a full church. But as to how many really believe and will open their hearts to a risen Christ, it remains to be seen, especially as the Sundays after Easter go on and we're into the summertime and we only have a handful of people here. Our society, sadly, it does contain many people who say, I believe. But they keep their faith hidden behind closed doors, fearing I don't know what people will say and think if I openly say that I believe. And how many doubting Thomases are out there who demand proof, and they want God to turn me on before I will invest any commitment to an organization that says Christ is alive. They come here and they go, okay, I'm here, turn me on. Our hearing of the first reading, it's about a faith-filled group, and they're not afraid anymore to be open about their faith in Christ. And this reading speaks about our church. Generation after generation, down through the ages, faith communities have been blessed by Christians who are full of courage and faith, and they're not afraid to stand up and say that, yes, Christ is alive. This is what built this house of worship. We have a church, a faith community which continues to be the hands and feet of living Christ serving those in need. And they have gone beyond hiding behind closed doors, knowing that the peace of Jesus Christ is with them. God is full of surprises. Yesterday I was surprised. I got a phone call. Where are you? And I said, what do you mean, where are you? We're here at the cemetery waiting for you. And I thought, what? Well, put on my clerics, and there I went, professing to them that Christ is still alive and Christ is with them in their grief. The second reading, I like that one. It contains the vision to which Christians, our church, looks forward to, knowing it will come about. We say it within our liturgy, we sing it, and we hear it during Holy Supper, that Christ will come again. Not in our time, but in God's time, where everything will be made new again. All three readings, they speak about what happened and what is to come and what is happening right now. That Christ is alive and moves with us every day of our lives. They are all relevant. We are who we are because of Jesus Christ, and Christ is alive. Amen.